Blog Talk Radio.
Close your eyes to see with the other eye.
Open your hand if you want to be held. Sit down in this circle. Quit acting like a wolf and feel the shepherd's love filling you. At night, your beloved wanders. Don't accept consolations. Choose your mouth against food. Taste the lover's mouth in yours. You moan, she left me. He left me. 20 more will come. Be empty of worry. Think of who created thought. Why do you stay in prison when the door is so wide open? Move outside the tangle of fear, thinking. Live in silence. To flow down and down in always widening rings of beings. There is a strange frenzy in my head, of birds flying. Each particle circulating on its own is the one I love everywhere. Drunks fear the police, but the police are drunk too. People in this town love them both, like different chess pieces. Interesting. From a mystic. And from 1200, in the year 1200, and 30 or so, whatever he wrote this. Children's game. Listen to the poet Sanai, who lived secluded. Don't wander out on the road in your ecstasy. Sleep in the tavern. When a drunk strays out to the street, children make fun of him. He falls down in the mud. He takes any and every road. Children follow, not knowing the taste of wine or how his drunkenness feels. All people on the planet are children, except for a very few. No one is going up except those free of desire. God said the world is a play, a children's game, and you are the children. God speaks the truth. If you haven't left the child's play, how can you be an adult? Without purity of spirit, if you're still in the middle of lust and greed and other wantings, you're like children playing at sexual intercourse. They wrestle and rub together, but it's not sex. The same with the fightings of mankind. It's a squabble with play swords. No purpose, totally futile. Like kids on hobby horses. Soldiers claim to be riding Barak, Mohammed's night horse, or Daldul, his mule. Your actions mean nothing, the sex and war that you do. You're holding part of your pants and prancing around. Dun la dun, dun la dun. Don't wait till you die to see this. Recognize that your imagination and your thinking and your sense perception are reed canes that children cut and pretend are horses. The knowing of mystic lovers is different. Empirical sensory sciences are like a donkey loaded with books, or like the makeup woman makeup. It washes off. But if you lift the baggage rightly, it will give joy. Don't carry your knowledge load for some selfish reason. Deny your desires and willfulness. And a real mount may appear under you. Don't be satisfied with this name of Hugh, with just words about it. Experience that breathing from books and words become fantasy. And sometimes from fantasy comes union. Gone inner and outer, no moon, no ground, sky. Don't hand me another glass of wine, pour it in my mouth. I've lost the way to my mouth. The wine we really drink is our own blood. Our bodies ferment in these barrels. When we give everything for a glass of this, we give our minds for a sip. Next poem is called The Many Wines. God has given us a dark wine so potent that drinking it we leave the two worlds. God has put into form of hashish a power to deliver the taster from self-consciousness. God has made sleep so that it erases every thought. God made Majnun love Laila so much that just her dog would cause confusion in him. There are thousands of wines that can take over our minds. Don't think all ecstasies are the same. Jesus was lost in his love for God. His donkey was drunk with barley. Drink from the presence of saints, not from those other jars. Every object, every being is a jar full of delight. Be a connoisseur and taste with caution. Any wine will get you high. Judge like a king and choose the purest. The ones unadulterated with fear or some urgency about what's needed. Drink the wine that moves you as a camel moves when it has been untied and is just ambling about. I think this is so temporary. In so many ways. I mean, he talks about hashish, he talks about getting drunk and wine. But drunk in the spirit, you know. Drunk in the spirit. And if we can get that way. You know, we can be that way. Great mystics were that way. They existed in the spirit of God. In a higher spirit that, you know, allowed them to be with God every minute of the day, every waking moment that they could. They sought to be there. It was like a drunkenness, like wine, like drinking wine. He's saying, drink the wine that moves you. As a camel moves when it's been untied. And is just ambling about. So just become at ease. Take in the energy from the cosmos. Take in the purest energy from God. And it's far greater than any high. Special plates. Notice how each particle moves. Notice how everyone has just arrived here from a journey. Notice how each wants a different food. Notice how the stars vanish as the sun comes up, and how all streams stream toward the ocean. Look at the chefs preparing special plates for everyone according to what they need. Look at this cup that can hold the ocean. Look at those who see the face. Look through Shams' eyes into the waters. That is entirely jewels. I'm trying to, you know, that this gave me great vision thinking about this poem, and it just, very simple poem, but one that prepares the mind for a cosmic event. The next poem is called Burnt Kebab. Last year, I admired wines. This year, I'm wandering inside the red world. Last year, I gazed at the fire. This year, I am burnt kebab. Thirst drove me down to the water where I drank the moon's reflection. Now I am a lion staring up, totally lost in love with the thing itself. Don't ask questions about longing. Look in my face. Soul drunk, body ruined. These two sit helpless in a wrecked wagon. Neither knows how. how to fix it. In my heart, I'd say it was more like a donkey sunk in a mud hole, struggling and miring deeper and deeper. But listen to me for one moment. Quit being sad. Hear blessings dropping their blossoms around you. God. Remarkable actor. Has anybody ever been drunk? Really stinking drunk? I have. I'm sure many, many people have. But or high, you know, extremely high, or drunk and high, or whatever. Is a place. There's a unique place that you go to, alters your mind, creates this serotonin and this dopamine and whatever, where you no longer feel any pain, no longer feel any sadness. You feel no, you're numb, but yet you're not numb. Your senses are heightened to another dimension. And in doing so, you are, in essence, contacting your soul, allowing your soul to communicate to you, allowing God, you know. Be drunk in the spirit. This is what they're saying. Be drunk in the spirit. And that's why everybody uses, not everybody, but so many people use drugs or alcohol or whatever to reach that level, that high. But Rumi is saying that you can reach that level automatically, being drunk in the spirit, being drunk in the Lord. And it's, and for those of you who might have reached that level at some time point in your life, you've actually been connected to the cosmos, to the universe, and you've seen it, and you felt it, and you know it. There's no greater experience, there's no greater high. I know because I felt it, I've seen it, I've been there, and it's been difficult to come back. You don't want to come back. Don't want to experience this life after you've experienced that blessed moment, that ecstasy. And this is what Rumi did, and this is what so many mystics have done all of their, in their lives. They've created that path to God, all right? And you do that simply by being drunk in the spirit. There's no special way to get there. It's like that, you know, the chef prepares many plates. This is God creates many ways for us to be there, to be with Him. You know? Like, you ever tasted a wonderful meal? A really wonderful meal that's just, you know, unlocked some part of your mind or brain that just went, wow, this is so good. And it's put you into a level of a high, if you will. And the same with a wine or with a spirit or with a drug, you know, that's brought you to a level of such utopian peace, okay, that you've experienced something unique. Well, that is what Rumi is stating here. That is what all mystics talk about, is that incredible, incredible high that you receive from being connected to the universal God, the cosmos, the universal law, the all-knowing mind. And all we desire in our lives, once we've achieved that moment, once we've seen that, is to somehow get back to it, somehow establish that connection and live in that incredible high, you know, which absolves us of all sin, absolves us of all pain, absolves us of all worry. Okay? We have none any longer. Once we're in that moment, and if we can grab that moment for even a minute, or 2 minutes, or 3 minutes, or 5 minutes, God willing, a day, it's not only is it exhausting, but it is overwhelming in its power, that it can actually stop you dead in your tracks once you've connected, and it puts you in such a state of sublime consciousness that nothing compares to it. And I've been there. I can honestly say that. It's for that recreation of that moment, of that hour, of that day, that week, that year, right? That possibly be submerged in that universal and infinite consciousness is overwhelming. It's beyond belief, and you never, never, never get over it. You never come back. And you never see life as a drudgery, as a misery, as a pain. You see it simply as a vehicle to connect again to that oneness, to that whole. And, you know, now I'm going on. But the new rule. The lover is just as bad. He falls into a hole. But down in that hole, he finds something shining, worth more than any amount of money or power. Last night, the moon came dropping its clothes in the street. I took it as a sign to start singing, falling up into the bowl of sky, the bowl of sky. The bowl breaks. Everywhere is falling. Everywhere, nothing else to do. Here's the new rule, break the wine glass and fall toward the glassblower's breath. This that is tormented and very tired, tortured with restraints like a madman, this heart. Still, you keep breaking the shell to get the taste of its kernel. And we do that, we constantly break away. We break away, and it's not so much the wine in the beautiful glass, but the blower of the wine glass who knew, who saw, who created something beautiful that you, in place, put in the wine that connects you to the Spirit, to God, or to the Creator. And, again, I can't speak more highly of that feeling, that incredible feeling that Rumi is trying to state. Yeah. And he uses many the drunkenness and the spirit, that kind of thing, to relate to what it actually is. And for those of you who've ever been drunk, I mean blissfully drunk, you stagger into the room and fall on the bed and fall into a catatonic sleep. To be that way in the spirit, or you haven't used a narcotic or you haven't drank, but to be that way in the spirit, you find that you can be that way, and that you're overwhelmed, and it has the same effect, the same dopamine, the same doping effect on your mind as does, you know, any narcotic. So, but you know, that's why people are so addicted to the Godhead. concept of God if they have actually connected to God. And it's so easy to connect to God. He's right there. He's always there waiting for you to find your way. And why I'm so delighted by Rumi's work is because he constantly states the way. He shows the way. He tells you the way. And the way is his way because he's there. You know, he's already there. He's saying, here I am. You know? Interesting. There's another one. Here's a, I have five things to say. Awakened lover speaks directly to the beloved. You are the sky my spirit circles in, the love inside love, the resurrection place. Let this window be your ear. I have lost consciousness many times, longing for your listening silence and your life-quickening smile. You give attention to the smallest matters, my suspicious doubts, and to the greatness, to the greatest. You know my coins are counterfeit, but you accept them anyway. Am I imprudence? Am I pretending? I have five things to say, five fingers to give into your grace. First, when I was apart from you, the world did not exist, nor any other. Second, whatever I was looking for was always you. Third, why did I ever learn to count to three? And fourth, my cornfield is burning. Fifth, this finger stands for Rabia, and this is for someone else. Is there a difference? Are these words or tears? Is weeping speech? What shall I do, my love? So he speaks, and everyone around begins to cry with him, laughing crazily, moaning in the spreading union of lover and beloved. This is the true religion. All others are thrown away bandages beside it. This is the Sema of slavery and mastery dancing together. This is not being. Neither words nor any natural fact can express this. I know these dancers. Day and night I sing their songs in this phenomenal cage. My soul, don't try to answer now. Find a friend and hide. But what can stay hidden? Love's secret is always lifting its head out from under the covers. Here I am. In the next poem called Acts of Helplessness, here are the miracle signs you want, that you cry through the night and get up at dawn, asking that in the absence of what you ask for, your day gets dark, your neck thin as a spindle, that what you give away is all you own, that you sacrifice belongings, sleep, health, your head, that you often sit down in a fire like aloes wood and often go out to meet a blade like a battered helmet. When acts of helplessness become habitual, those are the signs. But you run back and forth, listening for unusual events, peering into the faces of travelers. Why are you looking at me like a madman? I have lost a friend. Please forgive me. Searching like that does not fail. There will come a rider who holds you close. You faint and gibber. The uninitiated say, he's faking. How could they know? Water washes over a beached fish, the water of those signs I just mentioned. Excuse my wandering. How can one be orderly with this? It's like counting leaves in a garden, along with the song notes of partridges and crows. Sometimes organization and computation become absurd. Of these 2,000, I and we people, which I am, Don't try to keep me from asking. Listen when I'm this out of control. But don't put anything breakable in my way. There is an original inside me. What's here is a mirror for that, for you. If you are joyful, I am. If you grieve, or you're bitter or graceful, I take on those qualities. Like the shadow of a cypress tree in the meadow, like the shadow of a rose, I live close to the rose. If I separated myself from you, I would turn entirely thorn. Every second, I drink another cup of my own blood wine. Every instant, I break an empty cup against your door. I reach out, wanting you to tear me open. Saladin's generosity lights a candle in my chest. Who am I then? His empty begging bowl. Late by myself in the boat of myself. No light and no land anywhere. Cloud cover thick. I try to stay just above the surface, yet I am already under and living within the ocean. The sunset sometimes look like the sun's coming up. Do you know what a faithful love is like? You're crying. You say you burned yourself. But can you think of anyone who's not hazy smoke? I find his work so unique in that you keep it. And as you read it, you merge and keep merging and merging into that soulless connection, that soul connection with the One. It's constantly merging. It's constantly pulling you in to that oneness, okay, which is God. And these are the poems of a mystic. Why they've survived nearly 1,000 years, because and then translated and reread and reread by millions and millions of people, because they understand and connect, and these words allow you to connect to that universal mind. Fascinating, and keeps going for some reason. I don't really know why. At this moment, I'm going to play a little song, and sure, let's try this one. Conscious and apropos of nothing, You come to see me. Is someone here? I ask. The moon, the full moon, is inside your house. My friends and I go running out into the street. I'm in here, comes a voice from the house. But we aren't listening. We're looking up at the sky. My pet nightingale sobs like a drunk in the garden. Ring bells scatter with small cries. Where? Where? It's midnight. The whole neighborhood is up and out in the street thinking. The cat burglar has come back. The actual thief is there too, saying out loud, yes, the cat burglar is somewhere in this crowd. No one pays attention. Lo, I am with you always means when you look for God, God is the look of your eyes, is in the look of your eyes, in the thought of looking nearer to you than yourself, or things that have happened to you. There's no need to go inside, outside. Be melting snow. Wash yourself of yourself. A white flower grows in the quietness. Let your tongue become that flower. I need a mouth as wide as the sky. Say the nature of a true person, language as large as longing. Fragile vial inside me often breaks. No wonder I go mad and disappear for 3 days every month with the moon. For anyone in love with you is always these invisible days. I've lost the thread of the story I was telling. My elephant roams his dream of Hindustan. Again, narrative poets destroyed my body. Is dissolving, a return. Friend, I've drunk to a hair trying to say your story. Would you tell mine? I've made up so many love stories. Now I feel fictional. Tell me, the truth is you are speaking, not me. I am Sinai. And you are Moses, walking there. This poetry is an echo of what you say. A piece of land can't speak or know anything, or if it can, only within limits. The body is a device to calculate the astronomy of the spirit. Look through that astrolabe and become oceanic. Why this distracted talk? It's not my fault, I rave. You did this. Do you approve of my love madness? Say yes. The language will you say it in? What language will you say it in? Arabic or Persian or what? Once again, I must be tied up. Bring the curly ropes of your hair. Now I remember the story. A true man stares at his own shoes and sheepskin jacket. Every day he goes up to his attic to look at his work shoes and worn-out coat. This is his wisdom, to remember the original clay and not get drunk with ego and arrogance. To visit those shoes and jacket is praise. The absolute work with nothing, the workshop, the materials are what does not exist. Try and be a sheet of paper with nothing on it. Be a spot of ground where nothing is growing. Or something might be planted, a seed, possibly from the absolute. And I guess that states a lot, in that we are try to remain humble, try to remain that barren spot where you see a barren spot and plant a seed. Plant yourself. Visualize a garden. Visualize a castle. Visualize God. Visualize whatever. And it fills that barren spot. But these are the lessons of mystics. These are the lessons taught on a daily basis, you know. I used to refer to so many works every day just to get that enlightened feeling that goes with, you know, I hesitate to say that because I forget the yoga's name. But there was a yoga in India who actually stayed in a state of meditation for 300 years. He began when he looked like he was only 20 years old, but he lived over 300 years in this state of meditation. And these miracles have happened time and again, but they explain the dissolving of your spirit into, even though your flesh remains, you dissolve into this oneness, and this oneness creates immortality. This yoga lived to be over 300 years old, and he had the face of a 20-year-old, and this was a miraculous thing. However, it's not unusual in when we understand the connection to the Almighty, to the infinite, all right, and that we as third-dimensional beings, we as human beings, have that remarkable gift, we've been given that gift to connect to the ultimate Creator, to our Father, to our Mother, to our, and I mean, I don't think there's any other animal or any other species in the world that can do that. I mean, they're connected instinctually, but to be connected with their free will, to be connected intellectually, is one of the most remarkable gifts that God gave us in our creation, and that was to be connected to Him constantly. But we lose our way, and it's so easy to lose the way. But it's always there. It's always in the center of our heart. It's there. It's there. It's not leaving you. Even though you try to leave it or cut it out, or isolate it. You can't isolate your heart because your heart is the core of your being. And through that, all expression is made, all muscles are taut, all muscles are slack, everything works on the emotional level and creating life. I mean, sex is a totally emotional act because until your body is absorbed in the act, totally your mind and body, you can't ejaculate or you can't it's not there. So this is this is how mankind in the physical sense relates to God, and that incredible act of creation or inception or even ejaculation creates that remarkable dopamine effect, which is no different in itself than the remarkable feeling a mystic gets when they connect to God, when they connect to the universe. It just floods the mind. It floods the mind with dopamine, and your serotonin levels just increase to the point where you actually become exhausted. It can exhaust you. Those who are familiar with automatic writing or channeling, they understand the toll that it takes on the body and on the mind, because once you've done it successfully, you feel that tremendous tiredness because that energy level is so great. It's no different than being drunk in the spirit, basically, or being drunk. You exhaust your body. You're staggering. You're so tired after a session that you feel exhausted. And you sleep. You fall into sleep. This is the connection to that dimension, to that alternate world to that ultimate dimension, because you can't really experience in the third dimension that incredible energy, okay? Because once it radiates into your body is aroused, and your body is like, you know, experiencing this tremendous amount of energy, be it whatever, from wherever, you know, whatever source. But the key is to increase your vital energies, but not to the extent that they impede the function of your organs or your, you know, brain or whatever. And what happens is the body has a great shutoff. It's no different than, I mean, once you've connected, and this, I'm talking about a metaphysical, mystical communion, all right, with your creator. And once that creation, or once that power radiates through you, it has not only the healing powers, but it has the remedying powers of generating sexuality, generating energies that you've never had before, generating powerhouse, and at the same time being exhausting. So as we enter this realm of fourth dimensional existence, if you will, the higher existence that we strive to achieve, either through drugs or liquor or sex or whatever, you know, we satisfy that craving within us, all right, that brings us to that level where we actually can communicate with the universe. And the universe is amoral. It doesn't judge. People judge, you know. Religions judge, but the universe does not judge. You know, it's one, and it's always welcoming. And if you can reach that level of tolerance, where you love your neighbors and you love your fellow man, regardless of how wretched they may be, then you've reached a level of a fourth dimensional level. You've raised your spirit beyond the third dimensional knowledge, and, you know, and the spirit is beginning to rise. And whether or not it comes back or goes, you know, depends on the spirit. If it leaves you forever, you're dead, you know. So these are the aspects that we talk about in mysticism, you know, and how to relate to God, how to relate to that cosmic consciousness, how to be centered in the one, all right? And Rumi's poems are all there. They're all striving toward the oneness of being. And that's why he's considered one of the world's greatest poets, because he's achieved that, you know? He's achieved that level, and that level of drunkenness in the spirit, and explaining to his readers what the path to it is. And again, that path is simply abandonment, self-abandonment, you know. Yeah. That's a difficult area to talk about. Self-abandonment being one that, you know, you try desperately to leave yourself, to leave all that you are, your ego, to leave that ego behind, and ascend to a higher level of consciousness. Because the ego cannot accept the fact that you're smart, that you're rising higher than it can comprehend. It must comprehend everything, you know, that you do. If it doesn't, then it has to make up things, or it has to, you know, whatever. But what you do, where you go into that fourth dimensional state, has no vocabulary that you're familiar with. It has no words that we're familiar with. It has its own almost impossible, okay, to understand that fourth dimension unless we have a way to experience it. And Rumi is stating it like drunkenness. It's like being drunk, right? Why do people crave drunkenness? Why do they become alcoholics? Why do they become drug addicts? It's because they crave that whatever it is, that feeling that rises them to that level. And why does a mystic become a mystic? Why does, you know, a holy man become a holy man? It's because they are embracing that feeling. And that feeling is, you know, the same as any narcotic. It's high. It brings you, it makes you high, right? And the more absorbed you are in that high, the more less functional you really are. You know, you need a monastery to stay in the home all day. Or, you know, you need places like that that respect the state that you're in. And understand the power that's being collected for not only by you, but to the earth by your work, because you're grounded and you're grounding into the earth. You're bringing that healing, you're bringing that understanding, you're bringing that beauty right into where you're standing, right into the existence that you are, right into your surroundings, so that, you know, that square foot or the 10 feet or 20 feet or 100 feet or 100 mile radius that you exist in could very well possibly be affected by a simple smile or a simple act of kindness or a simple act of compassion that you grant to somebody. And vice versa, it could be from the hatred and from the violence or whatever that you generate as well. I personally prefer to stay peaceful, if possible. But there are times that you cannot. At times you're being invaded, or in times that you're being assaulted, or times that, you know, you have no control over, then you must be able to fight, or you must be able to convert. And I find, you know, fight or flight is the, you know, is the accepted method to rid yourself. You can say all you want in front of a radioactive plant and won't get you anywhere. You know, save your life, run the 50 miles, get the hell out of there, you know. And that's what you have to do. It's the same in anything in life, you know. When you see an impossible situation that can't be overcome even by prayer, then prayer or meditation will take you to the proper step. It will guide you around the obstacle, take you, connect you to the higher step, the higher God, and from there disseminate that spiritual consciousness throughout the universe, throughout the world, anyway. And this is the essence of mysticism. It would be my greatest hope and dream that everyone becomes a mystic. Everyone gets connected to God. Everyone gets connected to the universal mind. Everyone gets connected to the planet and the planetary waves and understanding where we are now and where we've come from and how close we are to the possible end of this world as we know it. But nevertheless, these are the things we must face as a species, as these are the things we must face as people, and, you know, anything else is, propaganda, basically, diverting you from the truth. And these are the issues we face today throughout the world. Truth is breaking through. The truth. Freedom of thought, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of, the right to bear arms, the right to, you know, all of these things. These are what we are and what we contain our emotions within. If we didn't have that containment or that teaching or that control mechanism, then there would be utter pandemonium, utter collapse of the system, just like we saw in Egypt. We saw in Yemen, or we see in Japan, or we see anywhere where there's sweeping the planet. These are what we are. These are who we are. And what will make the world go round. Now I'll leave you with this last poem called Where Are We? Where are we? An invisible bird flies over but casts a quick shadow. What is the body? The shadow of a shadow of your love that somehow contains the entire universe. A man sleeps heavily, though sometimes blazes in him like the sun, like a magnificent fringe sewn up under the hem. He turns under the covers, any image is a lie. A clear red stone tastes sweet. You kiss a beautiful mouth, and a key turns in the lock of your fear. A spoken sentence sharpens to a fine edge. A mother dove looks for her nest, asking, where cool, where cool? Where the lion lies down, where any man or woman goes to cry, where the sick go when they hope to get well, where a wind lifts that helps with winnowing, and the same moment sends a ship on its way, where anyone says only God is real, Yahoo, where beyond where. A bright weaver shuttle flashes back and forth, east west. Where are we? Maku, Maku. Like the sun saying, where are we, as it weaves with the asking. A friend comes into my body looking for the center, unable to find it, and draws a blade and strikes anywhere. There is a light seed grain inside. You fill it with yourself or it dies. I'm caught with this curling energy, your hair. Whoever's ever calm and sensible is insane. Do you know I know? Do you think I know what I am doing? That for one breath or a half breath, I belong to myself. As much as pen knows what it is writing, but a ball can guess where it's going next. Talking about basically automatically writing. Where is that next? And for that, I don't either. But we have about 50 seconds left in the show, and I want to thank everybody who joined us. Nope, I didn't lose any of you. And you can check out The Essential Rumi, translated by Coleman Barks and John Moyne. And it's put out by Castle Books. And probably get a copy on Amazon. But anyway, I want to thank everybody for joining me. And I wish you a good evening and good night. And join us tomorrow when we have George Dixon. We talk about the ninth wave and the Mayan calendar. What's going on right now. Good night.